chapter 3. Somebody's going to get a hold of that and not realize what they got a hold of, ain't they? Right. Hey, Malachi chapter 3. You find that place, you're able, let's stand. And I'm going to be in two places this morning, Malachi chapter 3. And the easiest way to find that is turn to the book of Matthew and turn back one book. And that'll help you get to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 3. And then we'll try to preach a little bit out of Luke's Gospel chapter number 2. Malachi chapter 3 and Luke's Gospel chapter number 2. And I'd like to have a good Christmas message for you this morning, but you just get what you get. Amen. And I really do. I don't preach by calendar. I preach by what I feel like the Lord's given me on my knees. And sometimes that coincides. Sometimes that works like that. And a preacher, sometimes it don't. Amen. Here the Bible says this in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 13. I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord help us. Bible says in verse 13, said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. I want you to notice verse 17. The Bible says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own that serveth him. Bible says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And to God, I pray that you would help us. Ask you, Lord Jesus, please breathe on the service this morning. Father, we're not looking to our own selves, but Father, we're trying the best we can to follow you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help us to say everything that we need to say this morning. And God, I pray, put a guard in my mouth and help me not to say nothing that be out of the will of God or be contrary to what you had once said this morning. Lord, I pray today that you would hide us behind the cross of Calvary. And the Lord, I pray that you'd help the people. I'd ask you above all things, exalt the Savior. And to God, may you evangelize the sinners this morning. Father, we sure love you. We thank you. Ask you, Lord Jesus, all these favors. In the lovely name of Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm looking primarily again in verse number 13. The Bible says this. God says, you have words have been stout against me, and yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You understand, here we come, and you'll just have to bear with me for a minute. It might take just a minute, be a little slow for just a second, but you need to understand, we're coming, God is wrapping up a dispensation, a dividing of time. We are coming to the end of the law, and all of a sudden, as things get toward this dividing of time, toward the law going out and grace getting ready, thank God, to sweep in, what you find is that there's going to be a transition. There's going ready to be a time where nobody's going to hear from God for 400 years. Listen, I can't imagine what a sad time that might be to go for 400 years and not hear one thing from God. I don't know where folks stand at today. I find it's amazing that we can go a few days or a few moments, but I would not want to go service after service. I wouldn't want to go year after year. I wouldn't want to go generation after generation and nobody know what it is to hear from God. Amen. And so in the middle of this thing, what we've got is a whole bunch of folk and they've not really heard from God. And in the middle of this thing, the Bible says, is. And God sort of speaks out to them. And he says, you've spoken some mighty stout words against me. And their question is this. They say, God, we've not blasphemed your name. And we've not said nothing like that. And the Lord said, oh no, that's not it. And that's not the stout language that you've used. He said, what you've said that's been so stout is you said it's in vain to walk and worship the Lord. He said, oh, listen, friend. And we find God begins to deal with them. And I want to just remind you this morning, if I did title the message just so everybody would be happy about it being Christmas, I'm going to preach on how to serve God in a silent night. Amen. I'm saying this, friend. And the reality of being in this thing is that there are going to come some times, and when you're not heard from heaven and you ain't heard from God and you sit in the house of God and you begin to wonder and begin to question, is this in vain? Is the serving God vain? Is walking with God in vain? Is keeping the ordinance of God, is it vain? And the answers are resounding no. Amen. Unless I won't get too far ahead of the message, but the answer is no. Thank God it is not in vain. Amen. Let me say this to you, friend. Day after day, I understand how it works, that you're looking for God to do something and God's not doing it over here, and you're looking for God to say something and there's no sound coming from heaven, and you're just marching in place, and before very long the whisper comes up and he says, I think I don't remember if it's Jess or as somebody else even said in Sunday school, said you've been praying day after day after day and no answers came, and all of a sudden the whisper starts showing up and he says, nothing's changed, and why don't you just go ahead, and you'd be better off to go back home, and you'd be better off to quit serving God. After all, it doesn't seem to make any difference whether you really serve him or not. But God gives an answer here, and what God says is this, and then I'm going to try to preach the message, and you just bear with me. In the last verse of this chapter, and the Lord says, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And the Lord says, there's a day coming. Amen. He said, now listen, I understand. Right now you're speaking stout words against me. He said, but I've got a stout answer for you. There's a day coming. I'll thank God for it. He said, I'm going to make up all of my jewels. And when I get to making up my jewels, I get to picking out those saved of God. I get to bringing them all in and bringing them all home. I'll ask the same question again. Does it pay to serve God? And the answer is yes. Amen. I know that's at the second coming. But old friend, listen, I'm glad that everything just about that he does at his second coming, he gives us a little foreshadowing of what it looks like at his first coming. Watch what he says there, and you just bear this in mind. And now listen, y'all, help me this morning. But this is what he said. He said, you say that it's vain to serve. He said to have kept. And then lastly, to walk. Essentially, they say these three things. He said, it's vain to walk, it's vain to keep, and it's vain to serve. And now open your Bible to Luke chapter number 2. I want to remind you that in Luke chapter number 2, there has been 400 silent years, and there has been nobody heard from heaven. It is what we would call that, Brother Nathaniel, that intertestamental period where nothing's happened between Malachi and the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, the book of Luke, or the book of John. And so all of a sudden, and nobody's heard from anything. And that's why when you turn into Malachi, there are no Pharisees or Sadducees going into that time, but they are coming out of that time. And you understand why that is. I read this, it's not original to me, but I read this, and it's always stuck with me. It said any time that God takes a step back, it says man will always try to take a step up. And so when God's not talking, all of a sudden the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they felt like they had something to say. And when you open up your Bible and you get to the gospel, and what you find is there's not too many folks left that are still serving God, but there are a few. Amen. And unless I just want to remind you of this today, we may not never be in the popularity, but I promise you, it does pay to serve the Lord. Amen. And let me just give you a few things here, and I'll be done. I want you to watch with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And I'll just start off there in verse number 8. I want you to watch this. You understand that the Lord's just been born. And to watch this, the Bible said, and that there were in the same country as shepherds. And the Bible says they were abiding the field. And notice this term, keeping watch over their flock by night. Amen. And now the first thing he said is they said it's vain to keep. But now all of a sudden I come to this passage and I find in Luke's Gospel chapter number 2 and that there are some folks who still think that it's important to keep what God said to keep. Amen. And now listen, I want you to grab a hold of this, and I want to try to help our church right here. And I promise you, I'm as happy as I've ever been. But you just hang tight with me, all right? I want to say this, friend. And when you come to this passage right here, one of the things I love about it is the Bible just shows, and there's still shepherds over there, and they're still doing what they've always been doing, and they're still abiding, they're still watching, and they're still doing it in a bad time. I thought about this. I thought about how those shepherds were watching, and when there was a diminished opinion. And you understand, there was a time in the Old Testament that it was something to be a shepherd. Amen. I mean, you had Abraham, and oh, Abraham was a shepherd. And man, what a man, thank God. And then you've got Isaac, and guess what Isaac was? Oh, Isaac was a shepherd. And then you've got Jacob, and Jacob was a shepherd. And you got Joseph, and Joseph had all kinds of land, and he was a shepherd. And probably the most famous shepherd of all in the Old Testament was a man named David. And guess what David was, thank God? He was a shepherd, amen. It was a time being a shepherd was something. It was something somebody wanted to be. It was a title that God would have you to be. But all of a sudden when you come to here, and the shepherds have lost their social status, and they're no longer as important as they used to be, and they're no longer thought about, amen, in the same manner as they used to be. I thought about this, friend. Let me give you a few things. And nonetheless, despite have fallen out of popular opinion, we still find there are a few shepherds that's still interested in keeping what God said to keep. Amen. I got thinking about this, Brother Doug. I got thinking about in our day, have a popular opinion. There is a diminished opinion even about church in general. And does it even serve to come here? Amen. Is there even really any point in coming to the house of God? I mean, thank God, listen, I'm going to say this. And I realize you'll probably be mad at me before it's over, and that'll be all right. This thing will land softly if you'll just hang with me through the rough parts. But I'm going to say this, friend. I think it's amazing where we stand at today. And we've got Sunday school teachers all across here. And I find it amazing at the diminished opinion of the Sunday school hour. Amen. And there was a time, thank God, you don't have to amen none of it. It's right, and I'm going to preach. I'm going to say this, friend. And there was a time that Sunday school mattered, and it mattered in the hearts of the youngins. And to thank God, and folks wanted to get there, and they wanted to get their kids there. And it was a time whenever young converts got to come to the house of God. And to guess what they found out when they got to Sunday school hour? They said, man, they're saying something that I didn't know nothing about. But then I don't know exactly what happens along the way. But all of a sudden, our opinion of Sunday school, it just changes a little bit. And we say that Sunday school, that Sunday school hour, that's not really important. And so we divide up the times. And now we got Sunday school hour for the folks who think it's still important. And then we got 11 o'clock hour for the folks who don't. Amen. And that's the truth. Amen. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. That's right. And I said that right. Thank God. And so then all of a sudden we've got two dividing times. And the one's important and one's not. But I'm telling you, thank God Sunday school is still important. Amen. And there's things that I got in the Sunday school hour. And there's things that got put in my heart as a young boy. I mean, just in the little baby's class. And when they were singing songs. Hey, listen, I still in my mind, I can go back to little Miss Glover. And she had her little green board. And she put little men on that little green board. And she told us stories about Zacchaeus and the blind man. And listen, that's still with me today. Amen. Thank God it matters. Amen.
I'm saying this, friend, and there's a diminished opinion of it. But despite the diminished opinion, and thank God we still got Sunday school teachers. Amen. We've still got Callies and Casey's and Jessica's and Allison's and Hannah's and Scotty's. And listen, and if Scotty Ray next Sunday, if there's only one person in your class, thank God, just open up the Bible. Hey, thank God, and just keep being faithful over what God said. And no doubt the devil comes in and he says, my class ain't what it used to be. And there's not enough people like they used to be. But I'm telling you, thank God, if God only gave you one ewe lamb, hey, you ought to take care of that ewe lamb with everything in you. Amen. It still does matter, thank God. There's a diminished opinion of it. There's a diminished opinion of the shepherds. I think there's a diminished opinion of the churches today. I mean, the Sunday school don't matter. And now listen to me, everybody understands this. I mean, I understand that there's life. I understand all those things. But Wednesday night don't matter too much either, does it? Amen. Oh, yeah, thank God. Listen, there's a diminished opinion of Wednesday night service. There's a diminished opinion of revival services. There's a diminished opinion of prayer services. And there's a diminished opinion of Sunday night services. And that opinion is getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Everybody knows that's right, amen. On every side of us, we're doing away with Sunday night services. And we're doing away with Wednesday night services. And we're doing away with week-long revival services. And you know why that is, friend? Because we don't hold the same opinion of it that we used to hold of it. But I'm telling you, thank God, it still matters, amen. It still matters, thank God. And these folks, listen, I'm not against you. These folks visiting with us. And listen, I'm glad for every person that's here. I just want you to understand. And the reason that there is a Sunday morning you can come to is because there's folks that come Sunday night and Wednesday night. And they pray over it. And they labor over it. And they thank God so that you can come here on a Sunday morning. It still does matter, amen. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. There's that list of those shepherds out there. And no doubt they said, you know, they ain't no shepherd. Nobody cares about shepherding no more. Said, won't you fellas just go home and do something else? They said, oh no, God called us to be shepherds. I believe I'll just keep being a shepherd. Amen. And they said, man, nobody likes shepherds no more. It don't matter if nobody likes shepherds no more. Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. Listen, everybody understand. They never did like the prophets in the Old Testament. They didn't like the disciples in the New Testament. And if you're going to stand for Christ, there's a real good chance, thank God, that they ain't going to like you either, amen. And so you're going to have to just deal with that and go on and serve God anyhow, amen. Oh, yes, friend, I'm saying they're standing in that place and the shepherds are in that place despite a diminished opinion. I thought about this. They're in that place despite a difficult outlook. I mean, it's a dark time, amen. Everybody wishes to God they could have. You know, this is not a time when it's real easy to be somebody. And I hear folks all the time, they say, preacher, they say it's hard to be a Christian these days. It is when you do it in your flesh, amen. But boy, if you'll bring your flesh in subjection to that Bible and let the Holy Ghost work in you, you'll find this is the best time, amen. Your light ain't even got to be bright, thank God, to shine in this day, amen. And so they're in there in a difficult outlook. They've got diminished opinion. But I thought about this, friend. They're out there in a place where they're doing deadly operation. I mean, listen, they're not, look here, and they're not just showing up and, you know, throwing a few rocks here and there. They're watching out for predators, amen. And I thought, thank God, nobody might not like the shepherds in those days. But the next day when the sheep were still alive, and somebody said, thank God for the shepherd, amen. All night long, Brother Tanner, they wasn't nobody maybe coming by and saying, that's a good job you're doing watching. And thank God you didn't go to sleep tonight, amen. And thank God you didn't throw in the towel tonight. And thank God you had that slingshot ready tonight. And there's nobody much going to come by and say that. And because they're serving in the silent season. And but you understand there is a day coming. And that the chief shepherd shall appear. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and thank God you'll be glad you was a little shepherd, amen. I'm saying, friend, thank God, listen, it still does pay to serve God. These folks that get whispered all the time, is it vain to keep? How will these shepherds say, oh no, listen, I'm going to tell you how it pays. Hey, y'all mark down right here what this says. And thank God when they're in that place and they've kept and they're just going through the day to day, just doing what God said to do. And the next verse, in verse number 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone. I tell you, thank God, they they was glad they was in the field that day when the glory of God showed up. Amen. I thought, started thinking about, thank God. How many times, now listen, don't nobody get just super nervous on me. Because I really don't mean this critical. That is not my intention. You hear my heart. That's not my intention. But it don't get out of the banks too many times around here on a Sunday morning. Amen. I mean, every now and again it does. And I don't know that it hardly ever starts at 11 o'clock. Sometimes it starts at 10 o'clock and it'll start getting pretty good. But you don't listen, friend. You say, preacher, why would I keep coming back? Well, I'm going to tell you, thank God. It's untelling what you'll miss if you don't. Hey, you might show up one Thursday night. Hey, you might show up one Thursday night and God save 7 or 8 and we be here till midnight. Hey, you might show up some Tuesday night and we sing I Know My Name Is There for 4 hours. And while there's about 12 get in, thank God. I'm saying this, it pays to serve God. Amen. And so we just keep on going. And despite the whispering, and despite the attacks coming, and we just keep on plowing, thank God. And we plow in faith. I'm sure glad that somebody kept the doors open. I've told this 100 times. I'm going to move on, but I've told this 100 times. How about the little church I got saved in? It got time that it got down to 3 little women and 1 man. And that's all that was going there. And no doubt they'd come by and say, why don't y'all just shut the doors? Why don't y'all just close it in? And no doubt when there wasn't no preacher for years on end, they probably said, just give it up because nobody wanted to preach to just 4 little people. But thank God, I'm glad somebody stuck with the stuff and they just kept plowing, amen. And then all of a sudden, hey listen, 1988 came a little 7-year-old boy. They brought a little young pastor. I had a little 7-year-old boy there. I'm just saying this. Could God have saved me somewhere else? He could have. But he chose in his design to save me right in a place where there's just a few folks left and that was still going on for God, amen. Don't quit, thank God. I'm saying that, listen, I know what it is in the silent nights. You say, preacher, I ain't never had a time like that. Yeah, you have, amen. Yeah, you have. I know folks, they act like every time they pray, God speaks to them out of heaven. That's not reality, friend. That's not, and you acting like that's messed a bunch of people up around you, amen. That's right, thank God. And so we come and we just worship by faith. But I promise you, if we could ask the shepherd boys tonight, say, does it pay to keep what God said to keep? And boy, when the glory of God was shining around about them, hey, listen, you understand the glory of God didn't shine in the temple. It didn't shine in the palace. It didn't shine, listen, let me just go ahead and stop right here. It didn't even shine down at the Coliseum, amen. It didn't shine down at the arena, amen. It shined, thank God, right out on a bunch of shepherds who had purposed in their heart. They were just going to keep what God said to keep, amen. And thank God, listen. Hey, you say, preacher, I ain't coming back. I hope you do. But I hope if you do, you'll come keep what God said to keep, amen. I want you to watch this, friend. I thought about all they say, don't keep. How about the second thing they said that was stout words against God? It's not only is it vain to keep, but they start questioning it. They said it's vain to walk this way. But then notice what the Bible said. Down in verse number 25, he said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was on him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not die, should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then notice verse number 27. It said, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, and then took he up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let me say this to you, friend. We have old Simeon there and all the other preachers mainly in this time, and they've started walking very crooked. But now the light is shined on a man who is walking straight in a crooked time. Amen. Hey, you say, hey, you know, it was crooked, preacher. Y'all remember what it was when Jesus walked into the temple, how that there was tables and there was doves and there was money exchangers and there was a lot of folks doing a lot of of thing. You know, they had fog machines and black lights and you know, all that sort of thing they was letting go on the house of God. But all of a sudden, old Simeon said, not here. Amen. He said, oh, no, we're not going to do that here. And we're just going to keep serving God the same old way. He said, preacher, everybody's going to that way. He said, not everybody. Amen. And not everybody, thank God. Old Simeon, no doubt, just walking. He's watching everybody else get to big crowds. That cause it gets convenient. Y'all help me right there. That cause it gets convenient. And they didn't have to bring their own lamb. They could buy their lamb down there. And they didn't have to pray about the service when they got down, when they was at home. They just wait till they showed up. And somebody else would do everything, thank God. But oh, listen, friend. Old Simeon's still standing right in his place. And the best I can tell, and don't get real nervous here, but the best I can tell, Rodney, how this temple only had two people in it. That was all that seemed to be in this little place. Only two left. A fellow named Simeon and a little old, and just a little old prophetess named Anna. And just two old people's all that's left in this place. But God didn't choose to send his son to be circumcised somewhere else. He sent him right to where the fella was still being faithful to go straight. Amen. Oh yeah, you say, preacher, is it vain? Oh no. Listen, there's things where we're standing at. I mean, this fella, he was trying to be straight in a crooked time. I want you to understand. I know you say, preacher, it feels like it's vain to serve God sometimes. Listen, it don't matter what it feels like. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always about in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, amen, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so he just kept being straight. I thought, I thank God for somebody who was being steadfast in a compromising time. I mean, listen, everybody else is changing. But we've got old Simeon right here. He's still going to the same temple. I'd say this, he's probably still singing the same psalms. Amen. He's still preaching the same word. And thank God he's gotten one hope, and it's that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And somewhere along the line, this man, in a matter of this really worldly time, he was still able to be a spiritual man. And the Bible says the Spirit was on him, and the Spirit was leading him, amen. And to thank God, and guess where it led him? Again, it did not lead him to the Thompson Bowling Arena. It didn't lead him to the Civic Coliseum. It didn't lead him to the 100-acre woods, amen. Oh, no, friend. I was talking to Brother Dustin, and he talked about down there in Africa, and one of the little missionaries, Brother Cliff, that young Victor said this. He said, my congregation's dropped off. He said, it's fishing season. I thought, what about that? Amen. It's the same in Jamestown, thank God. It doesn't matter where it's at. Ain't it amazing, friend, that there's folks all around the world and they all think the same thing. Yeah. It seems to be vain to serve God. But is it?
Yeah.
I mean, the question is it not? Now, I'm not talking about is it really vain to set on God. I'm talking about is it vain to serve Him. Here's what you find. Watch this. The old shepherds, they got to see the glory of God. The old man of God, he's still preaching straight. He's steadfast where he's at. He's spiritual and he's not compromised. And God gave him promise. He said, you'll not die till you see the Lord's Christ. And friend, when he's got a hold of grace, he's holding that little baby in his arms. Thank God, and he sees the grace that God's give to all mankind, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Listen, for all the people, he gets to hold down his arms. He says, man, it's worth it. You know, listen, thank God, all those days, mamas and daddies, and you bring your kids and you say, hey, listen, when they're 1 year old, they're running up and down the aisles, and they're 2 and 3, they're trying to play with cars, and when they're 3 and 4, they've got coloring books, and they're crying and they're screaming, and you're saying, hey, it'd be better off leaving them at home. I promise you this. The day they put those hands on the grace of God, and that gift comes down to where they're at, and they get a hold of it, and you look back over your life and you'll say, it was not vain to serve God. It was not vain. Amen. Listen, the shepherds got to see the glory. Old Simeon got to see grace. Now all of a sudden we see the last person. Listen, I'm talking about, we see the shepherds kept, we see that he walked. Watch what it says about her in verse number
whatever that is, 37 down there, somewhere down there. You'll have to read it and find it in your Bible. Amen. You'll find with me. It's down toward the end of it. How's that? Here's what the Bible says. It says, there's a widow above 84 years which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And said, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption at Jerusalem. I thought, thank God, this lady here said, it's not vain to serve God. Amen. Hey, several things about this lady that really blessed my heart, and y'all get this, all right? Number one, it was not despite her situation. She still went on and she still served God. Amen. Had she lost her husband, she could have said, my husband's gone, I think. And we used to serve God together. We used to sing together. And we used to labor together. But now my husband's gone. I don't feel like singing no more. And the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't have blamed her and you wouldn't have either. But this lady, instead of saying that, and she said, oh no, thank God. I believe I'll just go stay in the house of God and not just visit it, thank God. And she made her abode in the house of God. I said, I don't believe I'll leave here. I'll stay here day and night and I'll just give myself over to praying and fasting and to thanking God. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, despite the situation she is going through, and she said, I believe I'll just keep serving God. Hey, listen, it does something for me to see some saints of God and when they're going through hell, and Brother John to just keep on serving God and just keep on worshiping God. I know, thank God, there's no doubt half the church in here, you've got a legitimate reason to say, hey, listen, let me just throw up my hand and go home. But can I give you one why you shouldn't? Amen. It's a place called Calvary where he went a little further, where he paid for your sins and where he paid for mine, and that's the only reason we need. Oh yes. I'm saying she's there despite her situation. She's there despite her sex. She's a lady. She ain't never going to get real close. See, she's got an outer court. She ain't never, listen, don't nobody. I'm trying to preach, all right? I can say I'm upsetting some people's sleeping time, but it's still preaching time right now. You sit down in your seat. And they, some ladies, and maybe they sit there, maybe some young men, maybe some older men, I don't know. But they sit right in the seat that they sit at, and they say, nobody's ever going to see me. I'm not preaching. I'm not singing. Maybe I'm not even testifying. I'm not sure that what I do even makes a difference. I believe I'll just give it up. Well, I'm going to tell you this. This lady right here, she was never going to get to be inside the temple. The law had forbid it. The law had kept her out. She said, I believe, here's what I'll do. I'll get as close as I can, and I believe I'll just do what I can. Amen. And she's got a little apartment in the outer court where she's apparently purposed in her heart, Josh, despite being discouraged, despite everybody else thinking it's vain to serve God. She said, while everybody else is ahead, out, I'm moving in. Amen. She said, well, everybody else is trying to visit. I think I'll just have to see if I can't stay there for a while. And as she gets there in this place, and my friend, and while she's sitting there just serving, being what God would have her to be, and serving in the shadows and not in the spotlight, and she just keeps praying and she just keeps fasting, and there must have been a God in heaven who was impressed by the fact that she just kept on, because when it come time to reveal his son, she's the first one to carry the gospel. Amen. Must have been pretty special. I thought, man, despite her sex, listen, despite the season of her life, you know how old this woman is? We don't know either. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says that she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So let's say that's 21 years. Y'all, that'd be all right? And said, been 84 years since that happened. So that puts her at 105 at least. She's not a spring chicken. She's 105-year-old. And despite having a hard life and her husband being gone for 84 years, and despite seemingly no encouragement anywhere around her, she said, I think I'll just keep on serving God day and night. Yeah. She said, I think I'll just keep on worshiping the Lord. Amen. She is 105, let's say at least that. Lord, if a 105-year-old lady came in here, she didn't want to stand up and shout, we'd say, just go ahead and take your seat. We just thank God that you made it up the steps and came into the church. Your presence here is just a blessing to everybody. We know if anybody could have stayed home, you could have stayed home. But thank God at 105 years, you're still interested in coming to the house of God. And her reply would have been, come. I didn't just come just to come.
Yeah.
I came to worship the Lord. And I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I started last night and I intend to do it all day long. And then tomorrow night I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm going to do the same thing the next night. And the same thing the next night. And I'm going to say this, when the good news came to where she was glad that she kept on going. She was glad. I know, listen, the devil whispers to a lot of folks all around. You can tell it by the quietness in the church this morning. That's the Lord. Well, for some it's sleeping time. But there's some right now that it's serious time. And you can't let somebody else get away with what God's trying to do in your heart right now. Now, it's something to serve God in the silent times. And if you're not real careful during those silent times, you'll just walk away and you'll say, it feels vain. I don't see nothing happening here. I don't see nothing happening here. I don't see nothing happening here. I'm praying, but I don't even know if it even makes a difference. Somebody help me. That's real. I don't know if it even makes a difference. I'm preaching. I don't even know if preaching makes a difference. I'm not saying that I think that, but there's times you think.
Yeah.
Does it really pay?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, that's mighty stout language you're saying against me.
Yeah.
The Lord looks down, he says, he said, you mean to tell me, to tell me that gave my only son to purge you from your sins? And you want to know, is it vain to walk the way I ask you to walk? To keep what I told you to keep? And to serve me the way I told you to serve me? And the Lord should have just killed them all. And he should just kill all of us. But instead, he says, I'll tell you what. He said, go mark it down on your calendar. Go write it down. He said, I'm coming again. And when I come, I'm going to ask you the same question again. And say, is it vain to serve the Lord? And when all the people of God's over there and we're going into an eternal place, abide with Christ, and everybody else is dying and going to hell, when we get in the millennial kingdom, and there's crowns and there's rewards. You know, after all, the prevailing, I'm trying to be done preaching, but I'm the overall prevailing theme in Jamestown and Scott County and Morgan County is, well, I am saved and I'm going to heaven, so who cares what happens next? What matters is that there's going to be a day and you're going to look at him eyeball to eyeball. I mean, I'm talking about you're going to look at a God who gave everything to win you.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Only for you to look back at him and say, I never did find anything worth giving up for you. There's a day coming. God said it'll come when he makes up his... I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I've cleared my heart. Serving God in a silent time can get a little tricky. But it's not going to be silent forever.
Nope.
There's going to be a day, there's going to be a morning, there's going to be a time that God's going to deal. Friend, you'll be thankful. On the other side of that time, I'm going to say this. There's also at the time if you give up this thing, you just throw in the towel and you give it up and you quit. Man, you'll never know what God would have done.
Right.
You just kept on going. I don't know whatever she's going to play. Lord's doubt in your heart, you've got the message.